Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Tell you what, we're just going to preach from two verses, but I want to just read the whole chapter this evening. Solomon starts off again here directing this passage to his son. Here in verse 1, he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to find that. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, excuse me, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. We thank you for the Word of God, this passage of Scripture, Lord, that we've read this evening. Lord, it's rich in instructions, Lord, and I pray that you'd help each and every one of us just to give attention to the Word of God and to what you have for us this evening, Lord, in this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray, Lord, for that one that may be here lost this evening, don't know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray this might be the night that they'll make Christ their choice, Lord, and call upon your name for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray now that you'd help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray that you give liberty. Lord, and I pray again that you just encourage each one by being in the house of God this evening. I pray again for these prayer requests that's been mentioned. Lord, those that's had confidence to ask us to pray for their loved ones. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful. Oh, God, I realize sometimes we fall way short in our intercessory prayer one for another, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us realize the importance, Lord, of keeping our hearts where they need to be, where we can get a prayer through, Lord, to pray one for another. And Lord, others that's been mentioned in times past, Lord, that Lord, they're still battling with sicknesses and different things and trying to make decisions. God, I pray that you'll help those also, Lord, that weren't even mentioned this evening. Lord, you know all about the needs, Lord, of the time past that's been mentioned, and I pray your will be done. Be with those that are unable to be in the house of God this evening, be in the upcoming meetings. Lord, I pray that you be with Brother Wells as he prepares to come this way. Lord, prepare his heart, Lord, for the Word of God to preach to us, Lord, as your people, and give us receptive hearts. Be Brother Netterville, Lord, as he comes. Lord, I pray for the young man that was here, the two on Sunday, the missionaries. God, I pray that you give them clear direction. Lord, minister to their hearts as they go about on deputation, Lord, and trying to find the will of God. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help them. Lord, we love you again and thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Help us now for just a little bit. Lord, we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do and accomplish in this service this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." I want to look at this passage of Scripture this evening and just for just a little bit with the thought of he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. And someone said there was a poll of 5,000 people was conducted on the question, what topic would you like to hear your pastor preach? The number one answer was Bible prophecy, and the number two answer was how to find God's will for our lives. There are many examples of God's guidance to His people in the Bible. And there's the example of how God guided His people in the wilderness by the cloud by day and by the pillar of fire by night. Can I say God still guides His people today by His Word? Woodrow Wilson once said, "There are a good many problems before American people today and before me as president, but I expect to find the solution of those problems just in the proportion that I am faithful in the study of the Word of God." He said, "I ask every man and woman from this day on they will realize that part of the destiny of America in their daily perusal of this great book." And I believe one of the greatest promises that we find in God's Word is found for God's people here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, where He said that trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And we use that passage of Scripture a lot of times, and I wonder if we really believe it in our lives. There in verse 6 said, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Thy paths. Do we really acknowledge him in everything in our lives? I was just thinking, reading this passage of Scripture, I've read it several times the last few days, and it's loaded and rich in instructions. I wonder if we really listen to the Word of God when we read it as it speaks to our heart. And that when we have situations in our life, do we really acknowledge Him in those things? I wonder sometimes why we can't find the direction that we need a lot of times in our life. Could it be that we're not acknowledging God in our life? Could it be we're not paying attention to the Word of God and what God has penned down through the Spirit of God and these old men of old, they penned the Scriptures down, that we're not applying the Scriptures to us, to our lives? What about a president that would say what Woodrow Wilson said? If we had some presidents that would acknowledge the need to faithfully study the Word of God and look for solutions to our problem, I believe the path of America would be a lot better than it is today. We just hear trouble, troubles, and troubles. And we don't never hear nothing said about God's Word or look into God's Word for some answers. And I believe if we would get sincere and we would get sincere in our study of the Word of God and reading and listening to the voice of God, I believe a lot of our problems would dissipate in our lives. Or we'd know how to face them. We'd know how to deal with them. But I want to look at just a few things this evening on this thought of He shall direct thy path. And I want to look first of all at the promise of divine guidance. The promise of divine guidance. We see the source of this guidance there in verse 5. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." I wonder, can we even comprehend what it means to trust in the Lord with all of our heart? I'm afraid I don't even do that a lot of times in my life. I know I don't. And we wonder why people's lives are in such a mess. But we see the promise of divine guidance that He's given. We see the source of this guidance is trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. That's easier said than done. And I've heard these verses quoted a lot of times in testimonies, and a lot of people lay claims to these verses as their life verse, but do they really, really comprehend the meaning of these verses and what it means to really trust the Lord with all of our heart? Most of the time we want to lean to our own understanding, don't we? Seems like the more people learn a lot of times, the further they get away from the Word of God. And we find that there's a promise given us of divine guidance, yet a lot of times we don't get a hold of that guidance and allow it to rule and guide in our lives. The Bible tells us we're not to lean into our own understanding. A lot of times we think things that don't line up with the Word of God. We think we can take care of situations in our own way instead of the way that God has said. A few years ago, the City Magazine asked a question, "In whom do you trust?" There was a lot of responses and these are old. Walter Cronkite received 40% of the vote. Pope John Paul, 26% of the vote. Billy Graham, 6% of the vote. And God, 3% of the vote. That's pretty sad that people put more confidence and look to man than they do to God. But so many times we find even today churches are leaning to their own understanding, trying to build churches and trying to do the will of God their own way instead of God's way. God is the source of this guidance and not man. So we see the source of this guidance. We see the seeker of this guidance there in verse 1 as Solomon's writing this proverb here. He said, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Jesus said over there, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." I wonder why so many people are failing in keeping the commandments of God today. It's because we don't love Jesus like we should love Him. Because He said if we did love Him, that His commandments weren't grievous to us. But it seems like the Word of God is grievous to a lot of folk today. Who is the writer talking about when he says, "Trust in the Lord"? He's talking about God's people. Those that are saved by the grace of God. Those that experienced the new birth in their life. They're songwriting. We used to sing the song, "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow and I know who holds my hand." So we see the promise of divine guidance. Then we see, number two, we see the price of divine guidance. Faith is involved in His guidance. There in verse 5 again, He says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." It's interesting to find that the middle verse of the Bible is found in Psalms 118, verse 9. And it was, what does it say? It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." But so many times we don't exercise faith to believe in that. It's better to trust God than it is to trust some man for the answers for our life. It's so much better a lot of times to trust God than it is to maybe trust someone that we put a lot of confidence in. The price of divine guidance. Faith is involved. They said a young man that was learning to fly was told, and I've heard this before, and I know of one experience where my cousin was, he had gotten his pilot license, him and his wife and one of the other guys that we used to work with at Honda, they had went to Florida, and his girlfriend, they had went to Florida for the weekend. They were flying back, and they got in a storm. David wasn't licensed to fly by instruments, but they got in that terrible storm after they got started, and they got in trouble. And Carl, he began to holler and got excited and said, "We're going down, we're going down." And David finally nearly had to just slap him and tell him, said, "Shut up, Smith." And because it was bothering him, because he was watching the instruments and he knew he needed to trust those instruments. But they said a young man who was learning to fly was told by his instructor, "You must trust your instruments. Your instincts will fool you. You must learn that even though you may feel you're flying south, if your compass says you're flying east, you'd better believe it." So often when a plane's surrounded by swirling mist and being buffeted by strong winds, you may feel you're in a dive and be tempted to pull back on the controls. But if your instruments say you're flying level or even climbing, you'd better believe them. To pull back on the controls might put you into a steep climb which would cause the plane to stall, drop off in a spin, and leave you out of control. And just as a pilot must learn to trust his instrument, we must learn to trust God in our lives. We must learn to trust His Word. You know why so many people are so confused today and caught up in all these different denominational beliefs and all? Because they don't trust God and what His Word says. In essence, what they're saying, "I don't care what the Word of God says. I believe it. We ought to do it this way." Well, it does matter what God's Word says. And we've got to learn to trust God's Word. Just as sure as those pilots have to trust their instruments, they leave from Atlanta going to Denver, Colorado, or wherever. Me and David flew from Atlanta to Denver one time, and they lit right down on the airport. Now, if that guy, he might could have flown by sight if he'd made that flight many times, but they have to trust their instruments. Me and Johnny was out there hunting one time, and we got GPS's that we were navigating with, and we was trying to get back to where we'd parked at, and Johnny's was pointing that way, and mine was pointing that way. Well, it wasn't so much that I trusted my GPS that much, but I told him, I said, "We need to go this way." Because I knew which way we'd come in, and I paid attention to the sun and which way the sun should be. But in reality, if you're going to use GPS, you got to trust that thing. And if it's working properly, it'll carry you to where you want to go. And I promise you, this Bible will work properly in every situation. If God said it, then it'll work for your life. We listen to Dave Ramsey a lot of times, and these people got credit cards, man. They've got them maxed out, and they're asking him what to do. You know, the best way to not get into a situation like that is don't load up credit cards. Listen to what the Bible tells you. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. You get in trouble with when you go against God's Word. That's just a minor thing that common sense will tell you that if you'll adhere to that, you won't get a bunch of debt that you can't pay for. We've got to trust God. We've got to trust His guidance. Faith is involved in His guidance. Fear is involved in His guidance. In verse 7 it said, Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hey, the fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. I promise you, a person that don't fear God is going to get in trouble. Young people, the reason they get in so much trouble, there's no fear of God. You see these cars, used to see them a lot more. I haven't seen one in a while, but they put no fear. That's what's wrong with our world today. There's no fear. There's no fear of God in church members anymore. It used to be that at least church members feared God, but we don't see much fear. You find out what's going on among people sometimes, and it'll scare you to death to think that people have got that far. And the reason they get so involved in things that we were being told last night, there's no fear of God really in a person's heart and life. Anybody to do some things that we heard about, there's no fear of God in their life. There's no seriousness. This matter of serving God is serious. People just go through their Christian life nonchalantly and just doing as they please. The reason they do that is because there's no fear of God. The reason they won't fall under the leadership and guidance of the Word of God is because there's no fear in their heart and their life. Hey, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of God one of these days, Christ. And we're going to give an account. And it's not going to be no picnic. Now, thank God our sins were judged on Calvary, but we're going to have to stand before a thrice holy God and give an account of the deeds done in our body. Our stewardship of the things that God has entrusted to us. And I don't think it's going to be no picnic. I think it's going to be a pretty serious thing when we stand there empty-handed before a holy God and everything just burned up. And you go in just saved, though as by fire. Fear is involved in His guidance. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9 verse 10 said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is to hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. Proverbs 8:13 said, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." The fear of the Lord brings confidence and a place of refuge for the believer. Proverbs 14, verse 26 to 27 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So we see, faith is involved in His guidance, and fear is involved in His guidance. And then number three, fleeing is involved in the guidance of God. Proverbs 3 verse 7 said, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." If a person don't forsake their sin, it'll drive a wedge between them and God. You just keep on in your sin and letting sin rule and reign in your life, and it'll drive a wedge in your fellowship between you and God. God is so holy, He can't bear to look at sin. We categorize sin and we think about the biggies, you know. There's no big sins or little sins with God. Sin is sin. And that'll hinder your relationship with the Lord. The reason a lot of people are not growing is because they got sin in their life. They're allowing sin to rule in their lives. Paul talked about reckoning ourselves to be dead to sin. Sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy your spirituality, but sin will destroy your life. There's a lot of people that kept on dabbling around in sin and dabbling around in sin, and their lives are a mess today. If you don't choose a mate according to this Bible, you might as well look. You may end up in a divorce court somewhere someday. You better choose the way God tells you to choose. A lost boy or a saved boy ought not never go with a lost girl, and vice versa. A saved girl ought not never go with a lost boy. You say, well, I'm going to try to win them to God. Most of the time that won't happen, though. Usually what they end up doing is pulling you out of church. You better choose someone that believes like you do. You say, well, they're not nobody. There is somebody. We just don't trust God to bring that one to us or put us in their path. We rush things a lot of times, and we date around and trying to find that right one and end up with the wrong one a lot of times. Fleeing is involved in the guise of God. Sometimes you got to flee. Paul told Timothy, said, flee fornication. Sometimes you just got to run from things. You got to get away from it. Solomon warns about the strange woman. He warns his son. He knows what will happen to him. Proverbs 3, verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you get involved in sin, it breaks one's fellowship with God and causes him to have deaf ears to their prayers. You know, everybody's always talking about praying. I hear a lot of people talking about praying. I remember when 911 got here. When we experienced 911, it was on billboards everywhere. Pray for America. It was even on the beer joints. Pray for America. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord, not hear me. We're fooling ourselves when we think that we can sin and fool with sin and our prayers will be answered. The Bible says it rains on the just and unjust alike. Some things just naturally will occur in your life. But I'm going to tell you, sin will hinder your prayers, that God will not hear your prayers. Our prayers. Psalms chapter 66, verse 19 says, but verily God hath heard me, He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Isaiah 1, verse 15 said, and when you spread forth your hand, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood because of their sin. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Micah chapter 3 and verse 4 said, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 6 said, they shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find Him. He hath withdrawn Himself from them. I tell you what, it scares me about America, a nation that was founded upon the principles of Scripture. People come here for seeking freedom of worship. And now look at America. I wonder, in reality, overall, has God turned a deaf ear to America's prayers? Because of the sin that we're embracing, the sin that we're allowing. Our politicians are legalizing homosexual marriages, the killing of babies. We've got a lot to answer for. And God is still holy. And He still hates sin. Then we see number three, we see the procedure of divine guidance. The procedure. Proverbs 3 and verse 6 said, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." How does God give us divine guidance? God gives us divine guidance through the Scriptures. He gives us divine guidance through the Scriptures. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's why you need to read your Bible. You need to not only read your Bible, you need to study your Bible. You need to read your Bible through at least one time in your life. If you've never read the Bible through, you ought to purpose in your heart, "I'm going to read the Bible through. I want to see what it says." Even all them hard passages to read through. Leviticus, some of it is hard to read through, but it's rich. Friend, all those sacrifices that point to Christ is a picture of Christ, that Christ represents. That represents Christ. All the 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, all those names, man, them things are hard. Some of them names are hard to get through. But you read through it every day, and eventually there's something in there. God wouldn't have put them names in there if there wasn't something in there that could help you. He gives us guidance through the Scriptures. It's important to read your Bible, young people. You need to put that on your daily schedule. You ought at least read a chapter a day, if not two or three. Some of you should be fast readers. I mean, all this education that we've got, you know, and access to. And you know what I did? We didn't have no television when I was growing up. A lot of time. Most of the time, we didn't have no television. I read books. I read a lot of books, biographies of... I like to read biographies of frontiersmen. I read all I could get my hands on. But I'm going to tell you, you need to read your Bible. All that stuff is okay to read. Some of it's fine to read. But you need a daily time in your life where you get the Bible down and you just read the Word of God. And pray and ask God, "Show me something, Lord. Show me something that'll help my life." And when you see something, then you need to apply it to your life. It's good to read it, but it's a whole lot better to apply it. Let me see if I can find it right quick. James chapter 1, verse 22 said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Hey, why would he put that in there if we wasn't supposed to read it? He said, "Be ye doers." You've got to read it to be able to be a doer of it. He said, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of a man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." And go over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You want to be successful? You want to be blessed? Read the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. When God speaks to your heart, get it right. Do something about it. God guides us through the Scriptures. God guides us through the Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 28-29, the Bible says, was returning, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So we see that Philip was led of the Spirit of God. He'd been in a big revival there in Samaria and seen a lot of people saved, and then God moved him on, and we find that as he's going his way, the Spirit of God leads him up to this chariot. We need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit of God. The reason we don't have divine encounters is because we don't allow the Spirit of God to lead us. A lot of times the Bible tells us over in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Because of sin, we grieve the Spirit of God, and He can't lead us because we don't hear His voice. But God guides us through the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important for us to keep our heart clean, our lives clean, keep sin out of our lives, that the Spirit of God not be grieved, where He can lead us, where He can guide us. And then a lot of times God guides us not only through the Scriptures, through the Spirit, but a lot of times God guides you through the saints. He'll use someone that's been saved for a long time to guide you. The Bible says for you older ladies to teach these younger ladies how they're to conduct themselves, how they're to live, how they're to act, how they're to dress, how they're to choose a mate, how they're to treat their husband. That they're to love their own husbands. But we find so many times that's not going on in our churches today. Older women are not teaching the younger ladies. They're not getting it. They don't have an example. The only thing they teach them is to rebel a lot of time. You say, you're picking on this lady. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm talking about letting the Scripture, God use the Scriptures to guide you. He's telling you, ladies, what you're supposed to do. You're to teach these younger ladies. I don't blame the younger ladies a lot of times, things that I see. I blame the older ladies because they haven't taught them how they to act. God guides us through saints, maybe some older saint that's had some experiences. They've been through that. He or she has been through that. A lot of older saints that's been through situations that God can use in their lives, what sin did to them, that they can help guide someone else. Maybe just experiencing life itself and have acquire some wisdom. But usually people run to those that have no wisdom. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Get good counsel. Get good guidance. Give good guidance. God guides us through His saints. I thank God for some people that I've been around in my life that's taught me some things. I've been around some men of God that's taught me how to worship, how to live for God. I've seen a lot of them old preachers down through the times, not only just preachers, but some deacons and some lay members that loved God and walked with God. And they set an example, and I can see that it's possible. it's possible to live a life that's pleasing to God. To live a life of wisdom. To live a life that could influence someone else as we go through this life. And Acts chapter 9 verse 17 said, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Here was another saint that helped the Apostle Paul. He guided the Apostle Paul in telling him what he needed to do. He told him he needed to be baptized. And you know, may sound like a small thing, but it was something that Paul needed at that time in his life. He needed guidance from an older saint, another saint, to help him get through that time that was a learning experience for him. "He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know, I only know this minute. But He will say that is the way, by faith now walk ye in it. And I am glad that it is so, today's enough to bear, and when tomorrow comes His grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave His Son holds all my moments in His hand and gives them one by one. He shall direct your path if you'll let Him. He'll guide you day by day if you'll listen to Him. And that's why it's so important to trust in the Lord. And quit trusting in ourselves. Quit listening to our heart. The Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? If it don't line up with this word, better let it go. Let God guide you. Let Him lead you day by day. Lord, we thank You again for Your word, for the instructions in the book of Proverbs. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, just look to You, Lord, to trust You in every situation. Lord, we realize we don't a lot of times. Most of the time, Lord, we're doing what Solomon's warning his son about. We're trusting in our own selves. We're leaning toward our own heart instead of trusting You. Lord, help us to trust You more. Help us to allow You to guide us and direct us. I pray for each one here this evening. Lord, help us just to yield our lives to You, to listen and be attentive to the voice of God, to the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'll help each one this evening to realize the importance of reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God each day, applying it to their life. Lord, we love You. We thank You again for salvation. We thank You for dealing with our heart, Lord, as a teenage boy back yonder, showing us our lost condition, a church member on our way to hell. But Lord, I'm glad You were long-suffering, Lord, and that You dealt with our heart, Lord, and drawed us and saved us by Your grace. Lord, I pray now that You help us to be that Christian we should be. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.